Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, I want to introduce someone that I do cherish and appreciate very much. He has been partially mentored by Pastor Jim LaFoon, whom, of course, we hold very dear in our church. And before I tell you his official title, I was thinking back on titles that religious leaders have taken for themselves. And, you know, because usually when you introduce somebody, you kind of give their title or whatever. I suppose that helps us to understand who they are a little bit, what their responsibilities might be, what they might entail. And one of the great titles of a pastor that was ever taken, still is used actually today, about 1,500 years after it was first used, is the Servant of the Servants of God. Isn't that a great title? Servant of the Servants of God. It was one of the early popes, actually, that took that title for himself, and it's still used today. Pope Francis uses that title. This man doesn't use that title, but he is a servant of the servants of God. He'll be ministering the word to us tonight and ministering prophetically as well. Reggie Roberson is the senior associate pastor of our sister church over in Raleigh, Durham, and in Durham, actually, technically. And that's where Pastor Ron Lewis is from. Many of you perhaps remember him. He's been here at our church a number of times. And Reggie has been working with Pastor Jim for many years in a number of the schools that Jim puts on. Some of you perhaps have been to the School of Empowerment that he's hosted. Reggie is actually kind of the anchor of that. And in many ways, I think Jim looks to Reggie to sort of be a prophetic successor to him. Pastor Ron Lewis is, of course, the senior pastor there, and he and Reggie work very, very close together. Reggie's been involved in many different aspects of ministry. It's a large church like ours, and he's been married for 12 years to Bomi, his wife. They have three children. Their youngest is a little girl now. So we are blessed. Pastor Jim set this up for so that Reggie could be with us. He has a great prophetic ministry, a very kind person, a kind heart. I always value that in people. Sometimes people can be leaders and they're powerful, but sometimes they lack a little kindness. Amen? Ever met somebody like that? Reggie's not like that. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Wow. I have to live up to that. Kind, warm-hearted servants of servants. That is amazing. Well, I am really privileged to be here. This is my first time here in this sanctuary. Isn't that amazing? This sanctuary was built, I'm sure, on the backs of many of you and your generosity towards the church. So why don't you give yourself a hand? You deserve that. Yeah. So I'm happy to be here again. I think I was here last year on a Wednesday night, and we had a good time, and as Pastor Bruce mentioned, we're going to do some prophetic ministry. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. We'll do an activation, and then we'll kind of weave in and out of some prophetic ministry. One of the things I was thinking about as I was sitting here in worship, this funny picture came back to me about how this was like the second place that I ever flew into. The first place was L.A. Isn't that amazing that I flew across the entire United States, 3,000 miles, for my first flight? And that doesn't sound bad to you, but I didn't like flying. You know what I mean? And so being in the plane for 6 hours, I was doing a whole lot of prayer. I had a real good prayer time with the Lord. But what it reminded me of is this one time when I was flying back from, I was flying back from Hawaii. Now, before you feel sorry for me about going to Hawaii, Pastor Jim and I go there all the time, and if we told you that that was one of the places where we got work the most, like we had to do a lot of work, you would probably not believe us, but we really do work there. We hardly see the island. We usually prophesy over a room about this size, and that's not together individually. We all have rooms this size, and we prophesy, but I remember I was coming back from Hawaii. And I was on the plane with this, we were on the plane, and the plane started to, you know, have a little bit of turbulence, and I can handle a little bit of shaking, you know what I mean? I can handle that, but what I don't like is dropping. You know what I mean? I'm just not a fan of dropping, like, you know, that. And so what happened was is we were going in and we're getting into Atlanta and all of a sudden it's shaking. And then we drop and I'm like, okay, God, you know, like I need you. And this lady across the aisle from me, she's sitting across the aisle. She says, Lord Jesus. And we dropped again. And she said, oh, God, take control. Take control. And then we dropped. She said, Jesus, I need you to take control. And I was just, I completely forgot that I was dropping. You know what I mean? Because I was cracking up laughing. And I looked at that sister. I said, sister, you keep on praying. You keep praying. I'm with you on this one. And so I just thought, you know, sometimes, you know, when we feel like we're in a negative, bad situation, when there's pressure, when things seem like they're dropping in our own lives, I appreciated her because she knew how to position herself to actually tap into what God had for her, which was peace. And she may not have exhibited that first, but eventually she did. And I just thought, man, we have to know how to hear God's voice and to receive peace from him, even in the most strenuous times. And that's, I want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about hearing God's voice. And we're gonna hit on the three different aspects, the pathways. We'll talk about the pathways. We'll talk about the problem. And then we'll also talk about position, which is what she knew how to do. And I want to end with that particular thing. And then we'll have an activation. We'll prophesy. So let's pray for a moment. Let's ask God to speak to us as we're hearing tonight, perhaps with fresh ears on how to hear God's voice. I know some of you may have heard teachings before, but I believe God wants to impart something to you tonight. All right, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, not just for your presence, but your power that actually does something in our hearts that unlocks something for the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year, and all of the various places that you've called us to be. Lord, we pray that we would be a wellspring of life. Help us to tap into your voice, to understand and to know it in a very clear and certain manner. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to start off with the scripture, Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at this and just briefly mention this, and then we're going to get into the things that I mentioned, pathways first. This is perhaps one of my favorite scriptures when it comes to hearing God's voice, and you may read this and think, I don't know how this has anything to do with hearing God's voice, but Colossians 1:16 says this, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And then it says this, all things were created through him and for him. Just say that, through him and for him. Now this is very, very, very important to understanding. This is really my backdrop, my foundation for hearing the voice of God, is the fact that God created me for him. I was created for him. So my imagination was created for him. Now this is important because this is one of the ways that we're able to hear God. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, about the imagination, how God uses the screen, the pictures on your imagination. But the thing is that a lot of people have difficulties understanding God speaking to them because they don't know that God created everything that he put in them for him. He created your emotions for him. He created your mind for him. He created your body for him. And when you understand that, then all of a sudden, You open yourself up to the many different ways that God can communicate to you. And that's very important, because I'm gonna name all of those in a second when we get to pathways, very specifically. But that changed, that revelation changed my life. Like, wow. Now, what does it mean to be created for God? When we think about this in Genesis chapter 1, it says that man was made in the image of the Creator, of God. And I like to say this, you know, we weren't made in the image of a dog. I know we have dog lovers in here and stuff like that. You know, that's no offense to you, but we just weren't made in the image of dogs or cats or other animals. We were made in the image of God. And why would God do such a thing? Why would He make us like Him? Well, the reason why He did that is because He wanted to relate to us. That's what it's all about. It's relationship. It's connecting. And I have never, ever seen a relationship that is healthy without some type of communication, without good communication. I don't know why we think many times, and that's not, no one in here thinks this, but when we look at the scope of Christianity across the Western idea of Christianity, many people think that they can only read their Bible and not get anything else out, not expect for God to actually speak to them a word that is more relevant and pertinent to the where they are at that particular season. And so they don't believe that God can actually speak directly to them. And they say that communication with God is just simply lifting up prayers to God. Now, how many of you think a one-sided communication, one-sided relationship would ever work with any of the people you know? You know, how many of you have been in one of those? Don't raise your hand if you're sitting next to your spouse and you're thinking about them. But seriously, how many of you have ever talked to someone, been in a conversation, and they are the only one talking? And that it's not because you ask them questions. It's just because they're just talking and talking and talking and talking. That never leads to a revealing, a revelation of knowing one another. And see, what the scripture speaks of is that Jesus came. God, we know this in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. We have two words for that. It's really one word in its original language, Zoe, that means the life of God. Jesus defines eternal life. And John 17:3, as knowing Him. You can't know Him without being able to hear Him, without being able to understand His desires for you. And so that's the importance of this. Now let's look at, I want to go and dig into the pathways really quick so we can kind of work our way through this. If we look at John chapter 5, verse 30, this is going to tell us how we hear from God. We're going to come back to this one too, because there's something important here later on. But it says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Now, the context of this is that Jesus has just done an amazing miracle. He just healed someone. And so they're calling Jesus to account. Jesus, account for the reason or how you were able to do this. Tell us how you did the miracle. And Jesus says, look, I can't do anything on my own accord. As I hear, I judge. My judgments are just because I don't seek to do my own will, but the will of the Father. Now, what I want to focus on this particular moment is how He's saying that He was able to do the miracle. He was able to do it through hearing God, hearing the Father, if you will. Hearing what the Father was imprinting upon Him, moving in His life. Now, this is important because we know in this particular scripture that it wasn't that Jesus actually heard a physical, vocal, verbal voice, thunderous voice from heaven. Because that actually did happen in other scriptures. And it was recorded. And if it had happened at this particular moment, then the Bible would read entirely different. You know, the booming voice, Jesus, heal that man. But that's not what it says. He says, I heard something, but it wasn't in the same physical sense that you think. What was Jesus talking about? Is he heard the Father communicating to him. There was a thought that came into his mind about healing him. And that's one of the ways that Jesus communicates to us is we hear a thought that moves on our minds. And it just comes back to us. So many times I was sitting here reflecting on how my wife and I, to the simplest thing, let me just give you an example. We were having our first child, and we needed a crib. I'll never forget this. Actually, it was a changing table. And we didn't have one. We didn't have the money for it either. So we prayed, and we looked everywhere. And I remember, like, everywhere we went, man, it was way too expensive for us. And one time we were praying, and all of a sudden this thought came to my mind. World Market. And I was like, what? They sell, like, biscots and wine and drinking. What is the World Market? What in the world? World Market. And I kind of pushed it to the side, and then I went on, and I kept hearing World Market. See, it kept coming back. That thought kept coming back. So I said, let me just go to World Market and see. So we walked right in there, and there was this amazing table that was not a changing table, but it was perfect to be a changing table. And it was on sale, and it was a very good price. Thank the Lord. So what happened is somebody actually felt compelled to give us some money, and we were able to buy that changing table. So in a sense, we got it for free, but God led us to that place. And God can lead you to people like that as well. He puts thoughts in your mind, names. Names come, and all of a sudden, you go to that person, and they say, well, I was just thinking about you. Or I was just thinking about this, and you're like, that's funny, I was thinking about you. Can I pray for you? Can I speak something to you? But you're listening to the communications of God everywhere you're at. Here's the next one I want to hit on, Pathway. This is in John 5:19, the same particular story. And John 5:19, Jesus says this. So he said to them, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Same type of thing here. But again, how many of you know in this text that God the Father did not step down from heaven in a physical form and show up and touch this man? The story would have read much differently, don't you think? I mean, we would have that recorded, and there would be a lot more people convinced about who Jesus was. They might have been afraid to cry out, crucify him, right? But that wasn't what happened. Jesus was seeing something through what we call personal revelation. All of these are personal revelation, whether you see, whether you hear, it's personal revelation that God's revealing to you. And this was cast upon the screen of his imagination. He saw the Father doing something with this man. Now, exactly how he saw, whether it was completely all in the screen of his imagination, or he kind of peered out with his eyes open and looked at that person and saw the Father moving on him, I don't know. But he saw the Father doing something that was not just a physical seeing. And that's what this is speaking of. He saw him doing it. The next one here I want to comment on is feeling. Acts 17:16. It says, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. This is a very interesting thing. You know, have you ever been into a place and the place did not feel right to you? Now, see, sometimes that could be fear, right? And that's when you check yourself and you say, is this really fear? Is this something that I'm afraid of? Or do I have bad memories here, right? Those things could affect you. But this wasn't the case for Paul. He went into this place. He saw the idols, and it wasn't just that the idols grieved him. There was something inside his spirit that was provoked. It moved on his emotions, and it caused him to want to proclaim something. You know, it's interesting, Jeremiah, the prophet, it says many times of him that he actually would have like a message inside of him, a burden that would come because the Spirit of God would move on him and burden his emotions. And it says it'd be like fire inside of his bones that he couldn't help but to speak because the Holy Spirit was moving on his emotions. Now, how many of you that's happened to you? The Holy Spirit, God speaks to you as he moves on your emotions. How many of you, just raise your hand real quick. How many of you, it was you hear thoughts. You know, you can raise your hand twice if you want. All right, what about seeing pictures or visions and screen? Okay, all right. Now here's the last one I want to mention here, Luke 6:19. And I want to get to the problem here. And it says, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Now, it's important to understand that there's a little bit of, there's this scripture, and there's also one in Luke chapter 8, where there's a woman that has an issue of blood. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She's been an outcast outside. They're not able to come into the city, but she hears about Jesus and she extends her faith and touches the hem of his garment. And it says, power came out of him and he felt it. Now here, the thing about this is that Jesus felt physically that power came out of him. It wasn't like some ethereal thing. It was real, tangible, energized power that came out of him. And that's one of the ways that God communicates as well when he moves on your body in a particular way. Now, right now, here's what I feel right now that's happening, that God is moving on someone's body in here right now. And what I feel and sense, there's some of you, it's not just one, but literally you're feeling like a tingly, that's what I'm feeling in my hand right now, a tingly sensation on your body. Now, this is not because you're sick. It's not something that you had when you previously came into this room, but you're feeling something. The Holy Spirit's moving on you in a particular way. Who is that? Can you just raise your hand, whoever that is? Okay. The Holy Spirit's moving on you right now. Sometimes it's you may feel some heat. You may feel something cool, but that the Holy Spirit, he communicates, and at those particular moments, you might want to press him a little bit more and ask him, what else is it that you want to tell me? What is there something you want me to do with this? You want to ask God in prayer, what should I do? All right, now let's talk about the problems. Those are the four ways. So the first way is that the Holy Spirit moves on your mind and you get thoughts. The second way is the Holy Spirit moves on your emotions. He moves on your imagination or the screen of your imagination and you see pictures or things. Then he moves on your feelings or emotions and you have a burden. There's a burden that comes. There's something you sense and then he moves on your body. All right, so let's talk about the problem of hearing God's voice because some of you knew that already. But a lot of times we're asking the question, is how can I overcome difficulties when I'm trying to hear God's voice? I think we have to identify what the real problem is in hearing God's voice. Job 33 is a very interesting scripture in verse 14. It says that for God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. That's the issue. Man does not perceive how God speaks. Then it goes on to say in verse 15, in the dream and the vision of the night when deep sleep falls on men while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of the men and terrifies them with warnings. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. Now, this is an interesting moment right here with Job because this guy Elihu comes on the scene and he actually, out of all the different people, friends that were so-called friends to Job, you know, they were actually not too much of good friends. I mean, they had wisdom, but it was worldly wisdom. They didn't understand God's heart. They weren't hearing his voice. And Elihu comes on the scene, and he begins to say, look, God actually does speak. Now, different scholars have different opinions about whether Elihu was a good man or not. But the reality of it is that immediately after Elihu speaks, God shows up. You know, so I like to think of him as like he was a precursor to what God actually wanted to do. But he says, God speaks. God speaks. But man doesn't perceive it. That's the issue. John 5:30, we can look at that. I want to go into why is it that man does not perceive God speaking. Remember this verse? We just went through this. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. It's this last part that is important. Because I seek not my own will, but the one of him who sent me. This is the single most greatest, this is the greatest problem that we have when it comes to hearing the voice of God, is we have self-interest. Okay, just in case you're not following with me, let me give you a few practical examples from my life. All right, so here's one example. The Holy Spirit told me when my wife and I were going to purchase a house, we were looking to do that, and our house wouldn't sell. He said, and we didn't have enough money for the down payment. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to take 10% of what you need, of the thousands of dollars that you need, and I want you to give it away. I want you to just sow it, give it. And I was like, wait a minute. God, you don't understand. I need more money. We need more money in order to get into the house. You're asking us to give a chunk away, and we need more money. This doesn't make any sense. So I'll be honest with you. After hearing that maybe twice, I was like, this is probably the devil trying to get me to be a bad steward. Right? He wants me to be a bad steward. That's what it is. But this thought kept coming to me. So, give. So I'm not going to lie. I wish I could tell you. Oh, you know, like Pastor Bruce said, mighty man of God. I responded the first time God told me. No, it took a month. Finally, I was praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about that as I close. I was praying in the Holy Spirit, and God spoke to me again. And this time, it was a different way. The first time, it was a thought. The second time, I saw a picture. And the picture was the house that we were wanting to get, and it had a dark cloud over it. And I said, I just kept staring at it, and it was in my mind, in the screen of my imagination. I kept staring at that. And I was like, God, what is that? Like, why is there a dark cloud over that house? And this is what God said. He said, it is your fear. Do what I told you to do and give the money. I was like, okay. I said, but my wife has to agree to it, you know what I'm saying? So I went home and, you know, I asked my wife about it, and she said, yeah, I really feel like we need to give some money. I was like, oh, gosh, okay, God, you win on this one. You got it. So I gave it. But what was keeping me from really clearly hearing was my self-interest and then obeying. Here's another one that I get all the time from people who are dating other people, and they're wanting to know, like, man, is this the right person for me? And they come to me because they're like, you know, you're a prophet and you can hear God's voice and perhaps you can help me with this. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, I'm not going to be accountable for, you know, the one that you accuse for getting married to someone that you have problems with. Now, listen, if it is a really bad situation, then I will say something. But I don't want to have the onus for that. That's your decision. That's something you're making. But I do start to walk them through a process of hearing God's voice. And this is what happens. Inevitably, I always ask them this question first. I say, listen, tell me this. you like this person, they like you, but you don't know if it's right. It's, you know, there's factors in it. It's not, there's nothing perfect about the situation. And guess what? There never will be on this side of heaven. But is it really bad? You know, tell me, oh, it's not real bad. Well, I just don't know. I have these feelings that are, you know, for him and then against him. There's a particular young lady I'm thinking of as I say this, but so I said, okay, tell me this. Here's what you have to tell me first. Is have you been intimate with him? Now, that's the first thing I have to say. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Ray, why are you asking that? Well, because intimacy joins people's souls together. And they become very, very self-interested in whether or not they're going to stay in that relationship or not. So it completely can block the voice of God kind of out, or it can push it out rather. God's still speaking, but the perception problem is there because there's so much going on in your soul. Well, thank goodness for this young lady that she said no. But if she had said yes, I would have led her through a prayer of breaking the soul tie and would have dealt with her about boundaries and accountability. Well, she said, no, that wasn't it. So I was like, okay, interesting. All right, well, then what could it be? Next question. And this is the one that usually gets everybody. I said, have you been fantasizing about being married to this man in your mind? And she said, oh, yeah, I've definitely been doing that. I said, well, tell me what you said. Well, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have a house together. We're going to do this. All of these different fantasies are there. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that as long as they're not actually doing anything? Here's the thing, is that the more you, now listen to this, meditate on something, it becomes a part of your interest. So now we have to go in and do the same thing. We have to break that up and tear it apart and come to the solution. Now, you want to know what the solution is to get through this? You have an interest. There's something you know that I want, but I'm having trouble hearing God's voice and I need to get through this. So I would walk her through this particular process. The first thing I say is, you have to acknowledge what you actually want before the Lord. This is what I desire. I'm being honest, God. You have to be honest with yourself. Don't trick yourself. Then I would say this. Now you need to acknowledge his lordship. And you need to say, God, I know I want this, but whatever you want for me is more important than what I desire. And so I'm not going to, and I literally have to tell people, all right, you got that thing in your hand? Because you've been holding on to it, because this is how it looks in your heart. I'm holding on to it. I'm not going to let it go. And I said, you got it in your hand? All right, acknowledge to God that he's more important. He's the Lord of your life. You'll do whatever. So what that means is you holding on to it? Okay, open it. Open that hand. Yeah. You still got it there? Yeah, I still got it there. All right, good. Your hand's open. I say, God, you can do whatever you want to with this. You can take it. You can give me something else. You can do whatever you want. It's yours. My hands are open. And I said, that's the posture that we want to have before the Lord that allows him to then come in and say, well, thank you. I have been speaking to you about this, but you haven't seen certain things. And every single time when people loose the grip, and they give it to God, over time they start to hear God's voice related to that. Because Jesus wants to speak to you so that you can follow him. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. That's what he's wanting. That's the way out of it. So let's talk lastly about I'm going to do this really quickly. Position. What that means is, how do you position yourself to hear God's voice? One of the things I just said is you meditate on the scripture. You meditate on the scripture. There's a lot of meditations that are going on a lot of other things, and you may not even know that you were doing it. You may not know that you were muttering or you were chewing on something in your heart and your mind over and over again. That's what that means, but you meditate on the word of God. And what happens is that that word then becomes a door for God to walk through and begin to speak things that are relelevant to your life. To speak a rhema word to you. That means a word that's fresh and alive, that's for you today. That's what he does. So we meditate. The next thing that we do is we pray, and I would say specifically, we pray in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues. You know, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to see one of the pastors or leaders here. But God wants to baptize you with power. When you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, and your faith starts to take hold of God's communications and his voice. What's interesting about it, I've seen this happen so many times. I'll be praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I'll get a solution to something. An idea will pop into my head. I'll hear a word. I personally don't know how couples do it without praying in the Spirit. You know, because there's so much tension with this that can arise between two people. My wife is from a whole nother different culture. She's Nigerian. And so there are certain cultural things that I've had to learn. But what's happened is I've been praying in the Spirit, and then God's revealed certain things to me. He's shown me things. And the thing is that God wants to do that at your job. He wants you to do that in your family, with your children, with your friends, with your roommates, wherever you are. He wants to reveal himself in that particular way. The next one I have here is you quiet yourself, you silence yourself. Oh, man. That honestly could be a whole teaching in of itself. That is perhaps one of the most difficult things for people to do because you're so connected technologically. I am too. I have the same struggle as you, is, you know, quieting myself, which means I get to a place where I'm focused on Jesus, and it allows me to hear him and to be at peace, to still myself, to create, if you will, to turn the channel so I can hear him. And I have the same struggle sometimes. Man, just wired. Technology, iPads, you know, everything, you know, phones and everything buzzing, Facebook alerts and, you know, all you name it. But we have to learn to kind of turn those things off, get away in places week by week, day by day as we can, and allow God to just speak to us. One of the best scriptures I love that helps us with this is Isaiah 26:3. It says, if you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, those who do that will be in perfect peace because they trust in him. I literally like that as a practice. I literally do that. I will keep my mind on Jesus. I will picture Jesus. And when my mind goes elsewhere, if I don't sense it's the Holy Spirit, I'll bring it back. So here's what I want to do right now. I want us to practice this for a moment. I want us to just wait on the Lord and allow him to speak to us personally. And then I'm going to speak over a few people. All right, so if you could do this, we're going to close your eyes for a moment. Don't go to sleep. I know some of you are tired from work and all that. God does speak in dreams and visions, but apparently that's what Pastor Donnie, that's what he taught on last week. So this is not the session to go to sleep. You can listen to his message and go to sleep. All right, take a deep breath here. Just relax. It's not because we're doing yoga. It's just because we want to relax. We're calming ourselves. Now, what I want you to do as you're with your eyes closed is to picture. I want you to picture Jesus. You can picture the Holy Spirit. He comes in the form of flames and winds. You just picture that. Now, as you're picturing, I don't want you to simply stay there. I want you to open your heart up to feel and sense his presence. If you need to, you can take another deep breath and then let it come out very slowly. Just keep your mind on him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, what you're going for right now is not for him necessarily to say anything. This is for you to just touch him. Let him touch you. If he says something, that's fine, but we're looking for him to just feel his presence. Whew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, as you feel his presence, now you're looking for him. Maybe he's giving you a feeling. Maybe he's moving on your feelings, your emotions. Maybe he's moving on your mind now, giving you thoughts. Maybe he's showing you pictures. See the Holy Spirit just drilling now, going deeper and deeper and deeper. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why don't we do this? You can come back for a moment. I'm going to call up a few people here to prophesy. What I want you to do is I don't want you to just make this a moment about the person, but I want you to see. I'm going to give you an opportunity to see what God's saying to you about them, okay? So if we can do this, the young lady in the green right here, I think I said hi to you when we came in. If you can come on up for a second. Let's do this for a moment. Let's pray for her. Just take a moment of prayer. I just want you to see what you're hearing for her. The reason why we'll do this is as I'm speaking, there'll probably be some things that are resonating with you as well that God's speaking to you. So let's pray. Just wait on the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. If you can do that, you can do that quietly. I'm going to start to speak over you. Just what God's laid on my heart. The Lord would say to you, my daughter, that I am the God who delivers. That I am the God that reaches in into places that seem impossible, and I deliver. The Lord says, I'm not only a deliverer, but I'm a protector. He says, I've spared you. I've spared your life. There was even, 3 to 6 years period where it was like you were headed for like a train wreck. There were some things that it's like you found yourself in a particular situation where you felt like, man, I just can't get out of this. I don't understand why I'm here. I feel stuck. And you didn't necessarily know how to overcome it. And it was, part of it was you were torn and you were in relationship and it wasn't enhancing your walk with the Lord. And I see that it's like the Lord out of his mercy and love just delivered you out. And the Lord says, daughter, I want you to know that you are my daughter, that I am your father, and I care about you. And you don't have to feel like I'm distant, because I never have been. I was with you even in those moments where you were very sad, very depressed, feeling like you had to hype yourself up to be something. The Lord says, daughter, I want you to know that I am for you, that I love you, and that I put so many good things inside of yourself, inside of you. I don't want you to look and focus on that which is that you're overcoming, because you will overcome. And the Lord says you're going to flourish. And the Lord says, do not settle for less than thriving, than flourishing, than increasing. Do not settle. Do not settle. Do not settle. I want to bless you. I want to fill your life with genuine and true joy. You are going to know me in greater ways. My power is going to rest upon you, and it's going to be carried into nations, says the Lord. And you're going to be doing that with some other people. I see you as a real team-oriented person. Sometimes teams can mean a lot of tension to you. You feel a little bit uncovered. But the Lord says, I'm going to strengthen you so that you can function well on the team, and that ministry can flow out of you freely without you feeling the pressure to perform. My hand is going to rest upon you. Watch and see how I use you in a powerful way as I heal your heart in a powerful way, says the Lord. All right. Praise God. Bless you. All right. All right, so this is part prophecy, part workshop. How many of you, some of the things I said, resonated? Good, excellent. This is one of the ways you actually grow in hearing God's voice, is that you start to get around other people who are doing it, and then you're able to resonate. That's what they did in Acts 13. What's your name?
Hannah.
Hannah, all right. I pray for you, Hannah. Is that okay? All right. Let's just take a moment. We're gonna all ask God to give us something for honor. Lord, we thank you for that. Since you're not sharing, you can just ask the Lord to take you a little bit deeper. Say, Lord, take me deeper, take me deeper. All right, Hannah, I saw a picture of you walking with some children. And it wasn't you at this particular time. It was you as a younger person. Like, you know, and there's a real heart inside of you for children. And you're a protector. I saw the Lord just saying that she is a protector. She really protects. And she's concerned about the welfare of the people around her, particularly those children. And I saw that it was an interesting road for you. It's quite bumpy. It's almost as if you had been put in a situation where you were thrusted out before the time. It wasn't of your choosing. It was a situation where you were kind of pushed away and pushed out. And it wasn't exactly how you would have wanted it to happen. And I feel like that particular thing has, it caused you to feel at times lonely, because you felt like the connections were broken, that you weren't as connected. And what I hear and I sense God say is that he's pleased with how you have come to him for your comfort, for your peace, how you've come to him to really receive strength. And the Lord says, I want you to know, my daughter, that this is a time for me not only to restore your sense of well-being and security, but to restore connections and relationship. And the Lord says, I just see you going back, and where you were perhaps unwelcomed, it's like God's going to make doors fling wide open, and there's going to be tremendous connections that take place. And you don't have to worry about being something you're not in the midst of them, but you can be exactly who you are. And God is going to show himself through your humility and through your prayers and through the love that you show. And it's going to be powerful. The Lord says, daughter, I want you to know that I have placed in you, I want you to take a step further in me to contend for my supernatural power, because you're going to be laying hands on people and healing is going to come, that there's going to be deliverance that takes place and people are going to get set free. And that I just see, it's almost as if you're going to be able to place your hands on people, and you're going to kind of feel and sense not only just the physical pain, but the emotional trauma that caused the pain. My hand is going to rest on you for that. The Lord says there's an ability in you to monitor, to understand, to feel wounding, to touch and to feel. The Lord says, you'll feel my heart. Well, I don't want to end without saying this. The very first thing I felt for you was God's pleasure. God says, you're going to taste and experience my joy. Lord, I thank you for releasing this in her life. You provide for her in multiple ways. Thank you, Lord, for the release. In Jesus' name. Just continue to let the Lord minister to her. I got another minute. Let me prophesy over somebody else. Hey, can you come on up here? Yeah, come on up here real quick. You're all by yourself there, looking around like, who, me? All right. How you doing? Antoine. Why don't we pray for Antoine? How many of you are prophesying too? In your mind, at least. You heard God speaking to you? Okay, good. Let's do this one more time. Wait on the Lord, pray in the Holy Spirit, if you can do that. I want you to hold something. Just pause for a moment. I got something. I want to say something to this young lady right here. What's your name? Michaela. Michaela, the Lord says that there's ministry in you. He says, don't look down on yourself. He says, don't underestimate yourself, because I put my spirit inside of you. There's going to be great power that comes out of your life. And it's not going to look like some of the things that you've seen. The Lord wants you to know there are real things. There's been disappointments, things that did not happen, prayers that were not necessarily answered. But the Lord says that I am going to do something in your life that is going to cause you to see many prayers answered, many powerful things take place. The Lord says that there's a way, there's a way that some people in your life want things to happen. But the Lord says, my hand's on you. And I want you to follow me. I'm going to lead you into some amazing, wonderful times of closeness, of knowing, of security. Don't ever apologize for being confident in Him and His purpose for you. All right? Antoine, what I heard is that the Lord is not a God that is wasteful. He doesn't waste things. And I felt that you've had some moments where you felt like there's some things that have been eaten up in your life. But God is speaking that He is the God that restores. Restoration, not just around you, but restoration of a sense of purpose and life inside of you. It isn't that you haven't, you've completely left God. That's not it. There have been moments where you were on the edge, but the Lord says it's more of the fact that the vibrancy hasn't been there, and He's going to infuse that inside of you as you know that He is the God that restores. He wants you to look forward, look up to Him. He's going to touch. God knows how to mend relationships. He knows how to bring things back. He knows how to put you in a place of dignity. That's what I see God doing in your life. God, the power that you once felt, the presence that emanated from the Word of God, from certain connections with spiritual leaders and people, is going to be reborn. There was a lot of things that were spoken over you as a younger man. Some of those very negative, unfortunately. But some called out leadership. And the Lord says, son, I want you to know that I am reconstituting your emotions and your mind and putting mental fortitude in you so that you can provide leadership to the place that I've called you. My hand of power and steadiness is going to rest upon you. And where the enemy has tried to lay upon your shoulders weight, heaviness, I'm here to lift it. Son, the word regret comes up. There was even someone close in your life. You regret not saying certain things or sharing. The Lord says, you can cast those on me and share with me. I know how to handle it. I know how to bring healing. I'm strengthening you, son, for this hour, for a greater level of leadership. Amen. Lord, thank you for Antoine. Bless him. All right.
Nice. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the words of practical wisdom, Lord, that were shared tonight and the insight into how it is that we can practically come before you, Lord, receive guidance from you, direction, to hear you speaking to us, even if we don't actually hear an audible voice speaking to us. And Father, I do pray that the things that were said tonight, whether being new instruction or being reminders of things that some of us may have known before, that it would stir all of us, God, to continue to reach out to you with two-way communication, God. Not just us talking to you, but Lord, us also listening and being alert, having our antennas up. Father, we pray that, Lord, we make this promise. If you can promise this as you hear me say it, just you give your amen to the Lord. But I'm going to say something out loud. Lord, what you speak to us, we will act upon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We will be back next week with Pastor Jim to continue in our series.